was baptized when I was almost 19 and a half. It's not because I didn't believe. It's not because pastors didn't want me to be baptized. It's not without making my mother pray and talk with me several times. It's because I had some questions. And I wanted answers to these questions. Some questions were not that important, but one particular question, which is, I don't know, you tell me how, what word fits here. I said to myself, if God really is omnipotent, if He is really omniscient, He knows everything, if He is omnipresent, He is present everywhere, if He is really so big and so large and so great, why does He want me to praise Him? Why does He need me to humiliate and humble myself and abandon myself into His hands and His leading? Isn't He big enough in His own eyes? You can imagine pastors hearing questions like that. Can imagine how much my mother prayed. But you know, there are verses in Scripture that are painting the picture of God, where some people might have questions like this. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 17, for example. Deuteronomy 10, verse 17. Alright. For Jehovah your God, He is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, the mighty, and the terrible, who regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. And my scripture says, takes bribes. If there is one thing that makes people rebel against God and against anybody else, is control. We don't like to be controlled. We have free will. We have self-respect. We have our individuality, our identity. And we do not like anybody to control us. There are other verses. Like, for example, in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. Depicting God. Isaiah 6, 1. Sitting high and exalted and so on with angels around Him and praising Him and so on. Again, mighty God. In Job chapter 9, verse 12. Job 9, 12 says, behold, He seizes the prey. Who can hinder Him? Who will say unto Him, what doest thou? In my version says, who can stay His hand and say, what are you doing? He is not just Lord. Scripture says He is Lord of lords. And you find this kind of reaction to this omnipotent, bossy God in many philosophies, all atheistic philosophies, all liberation theologies, in Marxism, in humanism, in existentialism, there are, in secularism, God is rejected because we do not like anybody to control us. But you don't find it only there. You can find it right outside of the Garden of Eden. It happened when the earth was still young. First adolescent boy born on this earth of parents had problem with God, God's will, and His firmness. The family was worshipping right facing the angel that was at the door, at the gate of the garden. Not Chicago, not New York, but near the Garden of Eden. Cain. Cain, the firstborn. Good parents. Perfect parents. You know who did premarital counseling to Adam and Eve. You know who was their pastor. And can you imagine the firstborn person on this earth rebellious against God? Slowly but surely, Cain became more and more estranged. And God's will became to him more and more oppressive. He was not a bad guy. He was honest. He meant well. But he could not understand his family. His parents and Abel were doing exactly what God said. Now, to him, that was backward conservatism. He felt that obeying like this is obeying blindly and giving up on your human dignity. So, he decided one day, Scripture tells us, in Genesis chapter 4, he decided one day that he's going to go out on the limb. He knew exactly what God said, but he wanted to do his own thing. He wanted to give to his family 4 lessons. First, he wanted to give them a lesson in theology. He wanted his parents and Abel to understand that God is tolerant, not narrow-minded, that He just doesn't expect of us to follow exactly what He said, that God is above prescriptions, above rules, above conformity. That was the first lesson He wanted to teach them. Second lesson, He wanted to teach them how to interpret Scripture. Well, there was no Scripture, but how to interpret what God said to them. He wanted them to be able to, here is a word, contextualize the Word of God. Which says, this is what the Bible said, and that was true in their time. But in my time, I have to take this Scripture, what Scripture says, and to translate it into my life. Which is true, as long as the message still remains the same, and the adjustments not be made in what Scripture says, but in my life. So, I imagine him speaking with his parents and with Abel and say, God did specify the lamb for offering. But he could have also specified carrots and cucumbers. Because you see, now this might sound familiar, worship of God must express me. Not be dictated by who God is, but who I am. So he said, if Abel sacrifices lambs, it's because he is shepherd. But I cultivate the land. So I bring the fruit of the land to express my thankfulness to God. Now, what happens with this kind of Bible study is that our life and our behavior start changing slowly. And what happens is that instead of taking Scripture and God at His Word, we would rather say, oh no, God gave us broad principles and then left it to us to interpret what it means in our context and our life. I have a physician that is a very good friend. Imagine if that physician told me, you know what? General principle is that you must not have high blood pressure. Did you hear me? Yes, I did. All right, so do not have high blood pressure. And then he measures my blood pressure, and he says, wow, that's not possible, but let's imagine. It's 150 by 300. But we are not going to be concerned with details. Let's just observe general principle. Since we are friends, I'm not going to bother giving you medications. General principle is sufficient to guide you. I would not return to that kind of friend physician. The fourth thing. So first thing, he wanted them to understand that God is broad-minded, tolerant, mature. Secondly, that the Word of God should not be taken literally, but should be interpreted according to my condition in my life, which is partially true. Again, I'm stressing, just so that the meaning is not changed, everybody according to their own opinion. Because God knew how to choose the words when He wanted to say something. Thirdly, that God is concerned with little foxes. He's concerned with little things. Just read books of Moses and you will see how God is concerned with little things. Just like my physician is concerned with little changes in my life. And finally, he wanted his parents and Abel to be free. And I remember in those early editions of Patriarchs and Prophets, the two altars, and the altar of Abel, there is smoke. The artist made it so that the smoke goes straight up to God. But Cain's altar's smoke was lingering above the ground. And we read this now, in chapter 4 of Genesis, verses 4 and 5. And Abel also presented an offering, some of the firstborn of his flock and their fat. The Lord had a regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain, He did not. Let me read what I like the wording here. Starting with verse 3. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the first fruit of the ground, and Abel brought the firstling of the flock and of their portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering. And verse 5. But for Cain and for his offering, he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. Can you imagine the shock? He wanted the shock treatment for his family, and he himself got a jolt. All of a sudden he realized that God, yes, is a father. That God, yes, is loving. But when we start hurting ourselves, He will say, it's not 150 by 300, it's 60 by 120. Whether we are friends or not. But that is blood pressure that I want in you. He drew a line in the sand, and Cain found himself on the other side of that line. He realized that when God says something, He means it, and no negotiations are possible. I was in the military. Every able young man had to go to the military. And I spent 18 months. I had first 3 months of boot camp. And after they made of me a man, then they sent me, because I was to be a medic, they sent me to school for 6 months. And I had very good captain. Young, tall, dark hair, big mustache, from Montenegro. He spent 10 years in presidential honor guard. When he marched, boy, it was something to see. And there were about 120 of us in his unit, and he drilled us. And about a month later, he would send us up on the balcony, about 10 of us, to see how beautiful it is. And so we all had our turn to see how beautiful it is to march like we do. So when General would come and some dignitaries, he and our unit, we were marching. Good man. Well, he noticed that I'm kind of bored in the classes. He was teaching anatomy and physiology. And he said to me, Miroslav, would you like to challenge my exam? I said, why? Well, he says, it seems to me like you could. I said, sure. He says, okay, here are the books. Read them. When you're ready, you tell me. Well, I did it. I don't know how long. In any case, in about a month and a half, I challenged all the exams. So, and passed. So he says, you know what? I'm going to give you a permit to leave the compound whenever you want. Just once in 24 hours, you need to announce yourself at a gate. So I could leave the compound and be in town. He says, it would be good if from time to that time you go to the military hospital and do some practicum. So I did it. And I reported that to him. But you know what I did? I went to church. Every button had a red star. And on my cap, there was a red star. But I took my hat off when I went into the church. And we were singing and playing music. And we planned to go to another town to present a program. Now, I need to tell you something else. That captain and I became very good friends. He found out that I was a watchmaker, because I was trained watchmaker 4 years, and I had my business after the military for 5 years almost. And that I had some watches that I was repairing. And he was afraid that fellows, soldiers would steal those watches. So he says, you know what? Here is the key to my office. After 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you're free to go in. And he made soldiers bring a desk with the keys and put it in a corner next to the window. And he says, that's where you put your watches. That's where you put your tools and all of your acids and whatever, so that nobody steals it. So I lived well. Well, one day, after 2 o'clock, I entered his office. Lights were off. He was sitting on his chair in American style. This is how we call when you sit on your chair and you put your feet on a desk. That's how in Yugoslavia, they speak about American style sitting at a desk. And he was eating my grapes. Because there was a drawer for file, and I didn't have files. And he was eating my grapes. And I enter in, and of course I stand at attention. He says, at ease, Miroslav. He says, where did you get those grapes? I said, I was singing for them. He says, what do you mean? I said, we here in Slovenia, Slovenia is that's where Alps begin. And they have beautiful song, and men's quartet and men's choirs is generally what Slovenian songs are all about. So I was singing with four other Slovenians. I was singing men's quartets. Nice, clean, good songs. So we would go to orchards when there are different fruits, or we would go to vineyards, and we would stand, five of us, and we would start singing, and those owners that were watching and guarding would come and sing with us, and then they would tell us, "Boys, take as much as you can carry." So we would take our jackets, tie it here, take our tie off, tie it here, button it up, and fill the jacket upside down, and carry our fruit. So my captain says, "So you sing?" I said, "Yes." "Bring the others." So the other four came. He says, "Sing for me." And he was eating my grapes. So we stood and sang about four or five songs. He says, "Good, okay, I believe you. You're dismissed. Kish, stay here." I stayed here. He says, "That's fine. You can keep fruit here and whatever. Just don't complain if something is missing." So that kind of relationship we had. So now we are planning to go to another town, but I have no right to leave the city limits when I'm a soldier. But not only I decided to leave the city limits and to go about 30 kilometers to another town, but I was afraid that if I go in the uniform, the military police would catch me and then I would go to hard labor. So I went on Saturday morning to pastor's home. I took my uniform and put pastor's clothes and everything his. And I was walking from his house to the church where bus was waiting. And I was crossing downtown. My wife, I think, should remember when I showed her where that pedestrian passage was. And I was crossing it. And who is coming in opposite direction but captain in his civilian uniform? But he was free to do that. And as I was coming close, he just glanced. You know, you look around. And then he looked again. He didn't say anything. He just lifted his right mustache like this. And my day was over. But I went. And we had our program. And then I was lingering. And 2:15, I came to the gate. And the soldier says, "Captain Knežević is waiting for you." And I knock. Says, "Yes." I come in, stand at attention, and report my name and so on, and stay at attention. He was reading a book, not eating grapes, and quiet. And without lifting his head, he would bellow, "Why?" And he had bass. And I said, "I don't know, sir." "Yes, you do. You don't argue against the officer." Still he reads. And then he says, "You want me to tell you why?" "Yes, sir." "Because you are spoiled. You didn't have a father who would teach you that when people are kind to you, you respect them more. But I will teach you." Genesis chapter 6 and 7 tells us something very interesting about this Lord of Lords in heaven. Chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 of Genesis. The Lord said to Cain, "What? What? The Lord of Lords?" First characteristic of this Lord of Lords. Beside being omnipotent and omniscient, and nobody can stay His hand and tell Him, "What doest thou?" He takes time for the rebellious and spoiled and undisciplined among us. He comes down. He doesn't remain stuck on His throne because He's right. He comes down. And this is why Psalm 136 verses 1 to 3 talks about this God and says, and the Lord... No. Okay. Is that it? Psalm 136 verses 1 to 3. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. What a blend of omnipotence and goodness. For His steadfast love endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, to God of gods, for His steadfast love endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of Israel. No, Lord of Lords. For His steadfast love endures forever. God, Lord that we serve, brothers and sisters, is good and unshakable in His love. And this is what I realized. And this is when I received the answer to my question, why is it that this God wants me to praise Him? When I was in school at Collonges, and one night I was walking on the mountain, and the sky was very close, air was very clear, the stars were big and very close. And I looked for a long time, I was gazing at the stars. And then looking at a huge mountain, big rock. And I looked at myself. And I looked so puny and little. And then I realized something about this God of mine. Did you know that we never pray to God first? He is the first one who knocks at our heart. Our prayer is response to His nagging, to His leading us, to His begging us. Did you know that we are not first to wash His feet? In fact, we never wash His feet. We send Him even to the cross without washing His feet. He is the first to humble Himself before us. That's the Lord of Lords and God of Gods that we serve. He is so big. He is so powerful that He is not afraid of humbling Himself. Did you know that people who feel good in their skin have no problem apologizing? It's the insecure that will not admit to their wives that she is right. Only after we have driven about 50 miles The other way, it never works. Second characteristic about this God is that He comes and He talks to, not at, Cain. He speaks with him. Let's come back to Genesis chapter 4. God tries to make Cain think about what he is doing. And he says, the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry?" Makes him think. You're angry? Why are you angry? Why are you angry? Are you angry at Abel? He didn't disobey you. Are you angry at your parents? Why are you angry? It is your freedom of choice. And you're free to choose what you're going to do, but you're not always free what consequences will come from what you're doing. And he's telling him, I still can control the consequences. The third thing that this Lord of Lords does, he tries to paint bigger picture. Bigger picture. He is trying to tell him that bringing a lamb or carrots and cucumbers makes big difference. And the big difference is because of one little word with three letters. Sin. He says, the Lord, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is couching at the door. I remember when the war between Serbia and Croatia just ended, and there were new borders drawn, and there were no organized crossings. And I wanted to visit my sister and my brother in Serbia. And the bus came to the border. We all came out. And now we need to go across the border. But all that land was full of underground mines. There was a very narrow path with orange and red band. And there was soldier in front of us and soldier behind us. And there were only up to 7 people following the soldier in front and soldier behind. And both of those soldiers had mine detectors. And they told us, you put your toe beyond the path and we might all be gone. There is reason. There is reason. And the reason is because carrots and cucumbers have no blood. And there is no restitution for sin without shedding of blood. Lamb has a blood. Lamb represents the Savior. Carrots and cucumbers don't. It might look innocent and nice. We were walking on that narrow path and there were some trees and birds were singing and butterflies around. But you know that there are mines under there. This King of Kings and Lord of Lords is not the one that barks His orders. He wants us to hear Him, yes. But even Deuteronomy, we read Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 17. But if you read just verse 18, it's amazing what follows. Let me read first verse 17. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the terrible God, who is not partial and takes no bribes. And then verse 18. He executes justice for the fatherless and the widows, and loves the sojourner, giving him food and clothing. How wonderfully blended description of this Lord of Lords. He is the one that defends us against our enemies. Oh, God would have been so happy if carrots and cucumbers could save us. But it doesn't work. Captain Knežević then started explaining to me. Until that time, he was speaking very loudly. But then he started explaining to me. He says to me, "You know where this town is located?" I said, "Yes." "What is the closest border?" I said, "Hungary." "How far?" 17 kilometers, about 12 miles. "And you know where, what block does Hungary belong to? The Soviet block." "You're right." He says, "Do you know there are all kinds of spies that are infiltrating from Soviet Union into Yugoslavia to try to find our secrets?" He says, "Did you know that there are some of your colleagues, soldiers, that change their clothing and go in civilian and meet with those double agents, and they are selling our secrets?" I didn't know that. And I almost with trembling voice says, "Sir, I'm so sorry, I didn't know that." But he looked at me and he says, "But this is why you follow my orders. Did you understand?" "Yes, sir." He says, "You know what? You know what you have earned?" "No, sir." He says, "At least a year of hard labor. Because you cannot prove to me that you are not double agent." And I was just standing and he was quiet. And then finally he opens the drawer and takes a form out of the drawer and starts filling it out. And then he looks at me and he says, "All right, I'm not going to recommend a year." He says, "You tell me, is it 3 months or 6? But you know what that means. The hard labor, the concentration camp, the gulag, in what was in Russia, in Yugoslavia was an island which was called Naked Island. There is not one tree. Just stones. And those that are condemned to go to that island have no protection from the sun that is beating on them. And all day they have to carry stones from this place to about, I don't know, about maybe 300-400 feet and put it in a pile. And when all stones are gone from here, then they have to take those same stones and bring them back. And do that day in and day out, and day in and day out, and eating only as much as they need, and not much water. And they have to do it 7 days a week. And each time you miss working one day, you stay 2 days longer. So for every Sabbath, I would have to stay 2 days longer. One of our soldiers, who later was conference president in Croatia, stayed 6.5 years. And I knew about him. He was then serving his sentence. So he says, "Is it 3 or 6? And I was trembling. I said, "3, sir." And then I saw him writing 3. Then he separated the top portion, tear off the carbon copy, folded it, put it in an envelope, sealed the envelope, stood up, gave the copy to me. The main copy he left in his drawer and locked his desk. And he says, "Lock after me." And he left. And I stayed there, standing and trembling and praying. I didn't dare sit in his chair. I went to my watchmaking place. I put the lights on. I opened the envelope. And in that envelope, I found 3 month permit to go out of compound whenever I want. I couldn't sleep all night. I waited for him to come next morning. But when he came, I didn't dare even thank him. That would not be right. He is a soldier. He is the Lord. He is my captain. He is my commander. I was ready to do anything that would not transgress the law of God for this man. Anything. When we were leaving, we went to main train station, and he would shake hand of people, and I was now in civilian, and he looks at me, he says, that looks better on you. So he hugged me, and you know what he told me? He says, "You will go far if you remember that the standard of good and evil is not made of rubber. It's not mushy, melting marshmallow." So I left the military. I went to school. I got married. I had 2 sons. And in 1980, we visited Yugoslavia. And we went to visit my sister in Serbia. And I just parked my car downtown, and Brenda still remembers, and my boys too. I parked my car. I come out, and sidewalk is very wide. And I see 5 officers walking abreast. And the tallest in the middle has heavy mustache, dark hair, and walks like a trained soldier, like somebody who was in presidential guard. And I recognized him. And I was trembling from excitement. And I stood at attention. In Yugoslavian army, you do not salute if you do not have your cap on your head. I stood at attention, and here are these 4 majors and lieutenant colonel, former captain. And they stopped and they looked at me, and he looks and he just stretches his hand like that and walks towards me, and we hug, and he introduces me to the other officers. And he says, "Where are you?" I was in Canada then. "What are you doing?" "I'm finishing my doctorate." I knew it. I knew it. So I called Brenda and the boys and introduced them. We chatted and they left. I want to read just one passage to end in Revelation chapter 15. Verse 3 and 4. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and wonderful are thy deeds, O Lord God the Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, O King of the ages. Who shall not fear and glorify thy name, O Lord? For thou alone art holy. All nations shall come and worship thee, for thy judgments have been revealed. All we can do, all we can say, is in every breath to pray and praise this Lord of Lords, which uses every ounce of His energy to save you, to protect you and me, and to see us ready for heaven. I would invite you to stand to pray again. Our Lord, our God, how many times did you visit us today and talk to us? How many times did you want to come and talk to us? This is too awesome for us to begin to understand. No one to you is hopeless case. Help us, Lord, to love you as you love us. May your will and your wishes and your desires for everyone present here, for all our loving family and friends, be fulfilled. I long, we all long, to see you, to hear you, and to praise you gladly, and to lay our crowns at your feet. In Jesus' name, Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.